Thank you for listening to Gateway City Church Online today. We hope this message will be a blessing to you and draw you closer to God. Now, let's go into the service for today's message.
I'm having fun today. I don't get to be here as often as you do. And so, I have a word from God. I want to ask you something. I do not know one person, not one, and I know many thousands of people. I'm not lying when I say I don't know one person that's not wearing sackcloth. No matter how rich, no matter how secure, their job, their CEOs, they are presidents of companies or pastors of churches. This is a very needy time and a very needy generation. And in America, there's never been so much killing and violence and hatred. It is a time for this message. I'm telling you right now, get the scriptures. I've read it over and over and over again, and I want to see if we can get it on the screen. Our first verse is found in Luke, the 11th chapter. We're going to read one verse and then go from 5 to 18. And it came to pass, as he was praying, as Jesus was praying, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray. And so now the story he's going to tell is to teach you to pray. And of course, he gave us the Lord's Prayer. And we could go into it. We've memorized it. A little kid said, Our Father, which art in heaven, how is your name? I mean, you can repeat that prayer, but you need to find out that it's a model for the ingredients that should be found in our prayers. And it is so important. And Pastor David's preached on it and others. And so I won't. But he said unto them, now they're begging him for prayer to be taught as John taught his disciples. And he said unto them, which of you have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine who is on a journey has just come to visit me, and I have nothing to serve him. And from inside, this wonderful friend answers, do not disturb me. Do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. Wow. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything just because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence and boldness, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say unto you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given you. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open. Folks, you probably don't think that that's the model, that that is the method, that that is the culture that God wants you. But now they're begging him to be taught to pray. And he said, this is it. Let me give you one more illustration. I might not get to all of them because the Lord's laid something on my heart here. Second model or parable for prayer is in Luke again, Dr. Luke. And he spake a parable to them to this end, that men and women ought always to pray and not to faint, not to lose heart, not to give up, to keep on, okay, knocking, keep on asking, keep on. Are you listening? Saying, there was in a city. Now he's talking about the parable. There was in the city a judge. And he wanted to make the point that men and women ought always to pray. So he talks about a certain judge who did not fear God and had no respect for man. There was a desperate widow in that city, and she kept coming to him and saying, give me justice for my legal protection from my adversary. Now watch this. For a time, I don't know how long, he would not pay any attention to her. But he said to himself, even though I do not fear God, do you want a judge like that to rule your case? I don't fear God, and I don't regard man. I have no respect for anybody except myself. Yet, because this widow continues to bother me. Jesus said that. No, I didn't. I will give her justice and legal protection. Otherwise, she continually will be coming and she will be intolerable, an intolerable annoyance, and she will wear me out. Then the Lord said, listen to what the unjust says. The Bible talks about the word importunity. The man would not open the door and give some bread to his best friend. With a best friend like that, who needs enemies? I want to ask you, look at me, would you be honest with me? And I'm going to discern in the spirit. How many here, if I knocked on your door at midnight and said that I needed some bread because some preachers have come from out of town, and the 7-Eleven's closed? That's a big lie. They never close. But how many would open the door and give me some bread? Four people. Well, huh? Jesus used this illustration, this parable, to make a spiritual truth that Central's never busy, always on the line. You can talk to Jesus almost any time. I hate high tech. I hate when I call. Don't get that voice saying that press one. If you want this, press two. If you want English, set this. Help! Amen. Speak a human voice. Somebody on the other end of the line. Jesus is saying in these two illustrations, both find both inspired by the Holy Spirit, and Dr. Luke said, this is an answer to the one purpose was that all men and women ought to pray and not give up. All men and women ought to pray and not faint. All men and women are to pray and keep praying, knock and keep knocking, ask and keep asking, seek and keep. Now, Jesus said that. So I only ask once. That's why you don't get it. I only pray for 30 seconds. If God don't do it, you know, I'm a busy man. You're too busy. I think I'm making a point here. We think praying is saying, Lord, thanks for a good day. And I'm ready to go to sleep. And just before I go to sleep, you know, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray my Lord to soul to keep. You know, if I should die before I... No. That's not praying. That's not praying. Praying is importuning. Praying is intercession. Praying is talking to your Heavenly Father who wants a conversation with you more than you believe He does. He's too busy. He is too busy to want... No, I don't know how He does it. I don't have to know. I know that He wants Emmanuel Candace Tracy to have prayer time with Him and talk to Him and not just only beg and ask and seek, but to talk to Him and tell Him how much I love Him and worship Him and have conversation with Him, then be quiet and listen to Him, and He can re-instruct me in ways that I'm going and things that is bringing a lot more problems on me than I know what to do with, and show me how and determine what to do and where to go and how to do it. And you know what? It's got to be a conversational thing. God wants conversation. Listen, America, you've heard it, and I'm not Republican or Democrat favorites here at all. I'm not going to start telling you, but I'm telling you, America's in trouble, and it has never been. I'm a Depression baby. I was born in the Depression. I remember bread lines 3 blocks long in the city of Chicago. I lived on a farm in a busy street in Chicago. You say, a farm? There are no farms in Chicago on North Avenue. Yes, there is. We had roaches and cockroaches and rats. My brother Samson was bit by a rat several times because he slept with his hand over the mattress. Yes, we lived in poverty, abject poverty. We lived in a horrible time. And Al Capone, that whole mentality was in the neighborhood. In fact, it was just a few blocks from where Al Capone had his headquarters. And I want to tell you something. If it wasn't for my daddy praying, if it wasn't for my daddy seeking God, all of the 11 children, the 11 Candace Tracys, would have been wiped out. There were gang fights. The neighbors next door to us, there were Puerto Ricans, there was Chinese, there was Polacks, we had all kinds of slang words. We lived in the ghettos, and it was the prayers of my dad, I would hear my dad praying and hear my mother crying. God has saved me and saved my whole family. All of my family now is saved. All 11 children. Come on, everybody. Say hallelujah. Daddy's prayers. And I had double pneumonia in both lungs, and I was dying. And because there were so many babies in our house, the Board of Health sent a nurse. And when the nurse saw me wasted away, my whole skeleton was showing. I'd lost so much weight. I was about 4.5 years of age. And she said, I got to call the doctor, get an ambulance. And my dad walked in from the music store, and he said, don't call the doctor. We've already talked to Dr. Jesus, and we're believing God for a miracle. Now, I wouldn't say that as a parent I would do that. I wouldn't say as a parent I wouldn't call a doctor. I believe in doctors. We have a Christian doctor coming here to teach on healing, and if I got the time, I'm coming to the class. Hallelujah. I want to learn more about Jesus, more about his healing power. And Dad, he stood by my bed and prayed and prayed and prayed, and sometimes all night long prayed. And I want to tell you something. I'm here today. I literally physically died, but I'm here today because my daddy didn't give up, even when my spine snapped and I became, and the doctor drew like an S, and he said, shame on you. I'm calling the police. We're going to arrest you. Look what you've done. Your boy will not live, and he'll die. But I'm here because daddy kept on knocking, kept on praying, kept on seeking. The phone rang, and it was Sister Broshai, the associate minister, a woman, a pastor, and she said, I see a vision. I see Emmanuel in a coffin. I see two hands come and take him out of the coffin, set him on his feet, break up the coffin, and Dad went back to my bed as I was leaving my body, and he prayed and shouted and began to thank God. And Emmanuel came from up here down back in his body. I revived, and the first thing I said, I'm hungry. My mother had some cold spaghetti and meatballs that she warmed up. The first meal I had in over 3 weeks. Come on, hallelujah. Somebody shout. Somebody shout. Don't give up. Don't give up. My dad, my poor dad, he was the number one Southern Life Insurance Company man. He was the highest paid man, and then he became a cripple, rheumatoid arthritis, and he was bent over, and he walked like this. He finally had to sell his home and move into a tenement shack where, in a bad neighborhood, and the owners of that tenement shack were Pentecostal Italians. And they would testify, bring him lasagna, bring him sausage, bring him pasta, bring him, you know. And he didn't want to hear about their religion. And then he would get so mad. And when she'd leave, he liked the food. He liked the baking. He liked the cooking. But he didn't like the testimony. I'm a Catholic. He hadn't been to church in all the years that he hadn't been, but he was a Catholic, he said. I got my religion. And he would make fun of the landlord, but the landlord kept on. And one day he had it. He said, Mary, I'm going to go to that church if she invites me. So now if they will carry me, because he couldn't walk, if they will carry me and put me in the car and take me, I'm going to go to church because they'll feel so sorry for me. I'm a cripple, and they will buy some insurance. Well, they brought him. Did I tell you this story? I didn't tell you this story. My dad's sitting in this church, and they start singing. And some of them are crying, and some of them are laughing. And he'd go like this. He couldn't turn like this. He couldn't turn his head. But it nudged my mother. Mary, these are nutty people. This man's crying. This woman over here is laughing. They don't get it together. In our church, if I remember right, we all said the same thing at the same time. And these are funny people. They are funny people, all right. My aunt was there, my mother, and my dad. And suddenly they start singing a song, just like you sang. And it was, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. And people were crying, and they were praising God. Mom, he said, stop. He said to my aunt, stop. You're laughing. These people aren't crazy. They got something. We've never sang a love song to Jesus. We've never done that. If I get another religion, I will get this kind of religion. That night, they carried him to the front, what they call the mourner's bench, and Dad got saved. Come on, hallelujah. Listen, don't ever give up. That landlady, for, I don't know, 4-5 years, did not give up, kept knocking, kept shaking. Though Dad didn't like her, though Dad did not want to be bothered, but she did not give up. Her prayer was answered. Not only did Dad get saved, but he had to be carried to the bathroom. My aunt lived with them so that she and my mother could carry him and put him in the bathroom. He could not walk, but one day he woke up early in the morning, about maybe 2 o'clock, and he had to go to the bathroom, and he looked, and my mother had been up with the kids. You know, we had a baby every year in our family. Every year. There was a lot of children. People told him he ought to take up golf or something, but anyhow, he said, I got to go to the bathroom, and he went like this. I would be a dog if I would wake Mary up. And he said, that lady, Mabel, gave a testimony that she had cancer and she got healed. If you could do it for Mabel, you could do it for me. And he got up and he didn't fall over. And he was sitting on the bed, and my mother woke up because he was slapping himself. He thought he was dreaming. He was sitting up by himself, moving his neck, moving his shoulders, without pain, without paralysis. And she said, Charlie, what are you doing? What are you doing, Charlie? I said, am I dreaming? Mary, am I dreaming? No! He got up and walked to the bathroom. Hallelujah. Completely healed by the power of... We quit too soon. We give up. And the word of the Lord to you, Carol, thus saith the Holy One that you sang about, the faithful one that you sang about, the one that cares for you more than you know. You're written on the palm of his hands, your name. I'm going to bless you. I am going to comfort you. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. And the latter house is going to be greater than the former. I'm going to bless your going out and your coming in. And I'm going to take sickness out of your house. And I'm going to make you a great intercessor and a testimony of faith to what I can do through your prayers. For you will be praying for others more than you've ever prayed for yourself. Come on, let's praise the Lord. Okay. Now I want to get to my message. I'm not going to go to the other scriptures. Importunate prayer. I mean, it's a kind of a prayer. I get this one little word, importunity, and in the Strong's Concordance and in the Vines, it says it denotes shamelessness, importunity, a negative, euphonic, and the Greek word is AIDIS, shameless modesty. Say shameless. Shameless modesty, and is used in the Lord's illustration concerning the need of earnestness, Perseverance in prayer. It's shameless persistence. If shameless persistence can obtain a boon from a neighbor, whatever that means, then certainly earnest prayer to a heavenly Father will receive an answer. Come on, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand. Now, let me give you six people in the Bible that prayed this way, and I could give you 60. I could give you 70. Can I just give you something right now to write down? If you write these down, then look up the scriptures, but I'm not going to give you the scriptures. You got to do homework. Jacob, he was a rascal. He was a supplanter. He was a thief. He was wicked. He was selfish. He was greedy. But he wanted the Lord. I don't know how you could have all of that in one man. And he wrestled. Everybody say wrestled. Look up that word in the Greek. He wrestled hour upon hour. Wrestled all night. I won't let you go until you bless me. If you're an old-time Pentecostal, you know the song. I would not be denied. I would not be denied till Jesus come and heal me. I would not be denied. Sing it. I would not be denied. I would not be denied. He prayed. He wrestled. Sometimes prayer is a wrestling match because of the demonic spirit that hinders and tries to stop. Daniel prayed and fasted 21 days. Do you think he said, Lord, do this, amen? No. 21 days. He kept knocking. He kept seeking. He kept asking. An angel had to be dispatched because the warring demonic prince of Persia, demonic, one of Lucifer's fallen angels had stopped the answer to his prayer. But Daniel didn't stop. Daniel didn't quit. Daniel didn't get courage. Daniel didn't say, well, it's not God's will. Daniel didn't say, well, maybe it's the Lord's will. No, 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 no. He prayed, and Gabriel came and apologized. I'm so sorry, Daniel. Your prayer was heard 21 days ago. A messenger was sent, and he got hindered by another demonic prince. But I've come to tell you your prayer has been heard and answered. Come on. Now, maybe it's not going to happen where an angel comes to you. But would you believe that Pastor David's an angel? That Pastor Chris is an angel? The word angel is a messenger. That's all it means. The angelus of a church, the pastor of a church, the word angelus means a messenger. I'm an angel. Well, my dad, when I said to him when I was 4 years old, Dad, I wonder how I'm going to get my robe on over my wings. Shame on my dad. He said, Pee-wee, I'm concerned about how you're going to get your crown on over your horns. Daniel prayed and got through. Let me tell you about another guy in the Bible. Not just Jacob and Daniel, but Hannah. Oh, this woman wanted a baby. Oh, she wanted a baby. Her husband, Elkanah, had another wife, but he loved Hannah more than he loved his other wife. She had children, and she mocked. Hannah said, you know it's a curse. The woman that doesn't have a child is cursed in this culture. And she made fun of her. And so she went to church, and she went to pray. And the Bible said hour after hour she prayed. She cried until she could not. She could not. She had a Pentecostal experience. She could not say the words, give me a child. For this child I cried. She said that over and over. And she finally got so much grief and so much agony. And she began to making sounds. And Eli the priest saw that. And he came out to rebuke her. You're a drunk in the house of God. You're drunk. And she said, I'm not drunk. I'm grieving because I want a child. I want a child, and I'm going to give the child to the Lord. Night came And the priest said, go, go home. And she went home, this woman of anguish, this woman of sorrow, this woman of travail, this woman who cried, give me a child. Elkanah chased her, caught up with her, and they conceived and had a son. Hallelujah. Jose Reese, the pastor of our Spanish church, by the way, our Spanish church that we started is now almost as big as Gateway. They have a 40,000 square foot church in Milpitas, and they're running, actually they have 10 churches. They're running thousands of people. They started in our prayer room with 13 people. Now, knock, keep on knocking, ask, keep on asking. But listen to me very carefully. Not only Jacob, not only Hannah, but Elijah. Elijah, he was a man of prayer. He stood on Carmel at the contest with 450 prophets of Baal, another 400, 850 prophets, and he stood there and he prayed. And he told them to put water on the wood and put in three barrels of water, dig a trench, fill it with water. See, because if God can start a fire, he can start a fire with wet wood as well as dry wood. You don't need a certain circumstance or a certain thing to happen before the answer comes. What you just need to do is stay in God's face. Stay on your knees. Get up at night as I do. I'm up every single day at 4 o'clock. I don't brag on that. I don't wake up. I don't set an alarm. But I just get up. Somehow it just happens because I'm having to pray for emails, phone calls, letters from all over the world. People need help, and they are hurting, and they are pastors, and they're good people. They're not bad people. They're not ugly people. They're wonderful children of God, but there's a harassment. There's a devil. There's a hindering spirit. There's a real devil. I said last week, and I'll say it again, people don't believe this, but Satan has over a trillion angels, and these angels are messengers of Satan, messengers of Lucifer, and he's got one angel at least. As we have a guardian angel from heaven for over us, there's also another angel that hinders, that harasses, that hits you in your dreams, that hits you with discouragement. Hath God said this? Do you believe that? Well, look at brother so-and-so. Look at sister so-and-so. It isn't working. It isn't happening. He comes with his lies. He comes with his accusations. He comes with his torment. Would you believe that he's tormented me for 7 months? 7 months I lay upon the bed. And finally, listen, I hope this isn't going to disturb the neighbors, but I finally... Joanne can tell you, my daughter was there at midnight praying. Ellen, Pastor Ellen, was there praying, and I was delusional. The narcotics they were giving me to stop the pain had just freaked me out, and I was seeing planes falling, and I was seeing monsters, and I was in a horror, and suddenly I said, enough is enough, and I said as loud as I could, get the hell out of this house! And the devil left. Hallelujah. I didn't swear. I don't want hell in my house or my home. Listen to me. Knock and keep on knocking. Seek and keep on seeking. Ask and keep on asking. Put up your hands, everybody. Say, Lord Jesus, you taught me to pray this kind of a prayer. Importunity. Say it out loud. Importunity. Importunity. You said... to keep on knocking, to keep on asking. And I'm not going to be deterred. I'm not going to be denied. You said the door would open. You said that you would make provision, that you would provide all my needs for my family, for my body, for my work. You said it, Lord. That is your word. Thank you for your word. The promises are true. They're yea and amen to everyone. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And if it isn't in the mail tomorrow, ask again. if it isn't the raise in pay at work tomorrow, ask again. If that cancer hasn't shrunk, ask again. I don't care how many times John Calvin said, ask once. Should I ask the second time the question was asked? Yes, ask the second time and the third time and the 100th time and the 300th time. And then he said, ask the 1,000 times. George Mueller prayed prayers, 30,000 people on his personal list to be saved. He died. Listen to me. He died. Most of them were saved. Maybe about 10,000 were not saved. And those 10,000, even after he died, God saved them. So that all 30,000, come on, everybody. Prayer is so potent. You may go to heaven, but your prayers will stay here. And God will work a work. And there are prophecies right now circling around this people from the call out rooms last Sunday and Saturday. Prophecies that are armed, that are going to take, they're going to explode, and miracles are going to happen, and healings are going to happen, and joy for mourning, and a garment of praise for the garment of sorrow and pain. Put up your hands, stand on your feet right now. We're going to do something right now. Chris, your darling wife, let me give you a prophecy. I don't know if I've ever prophesied over you. I want you to know, says the Lord, you know what pain is. You know what sorrow is. You know what anguish is. You know what it is to travail. You know what it is to see the mighty hand of God. Delays are never denials. You hung in there. You hung in there. And the word of the Lord to you, there's going to be a new dispensation in your ministries. A new dispensation, a new touch, a new anointing, a new power, a new release. For you are a chosen of the Lord and you are a messenger, an angelos in this house. Now, do what I just did. Find somebody, anybody, and just say, what can I pray with you about? Just do that right now. What can I pray with you about? What can I pray with you about? What can I pray with you about? All right, now let's all in concert say, in the name of Jesus, according to the word that said, knock and ask and seek. I'm asking God for my brother, for my sister, for my relative. I'm asking for grace. I'm asking for a miracle. I'm asking for blessings upon this worship team. I'm asking God. Oh, God, they are giving out. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Rabba Shabuhu Rubakana. Come on, loose that person in the name of Jesus. Hannah, you're going to have a child. Hannah, you're not drunk. Hannah, you are not insane. You're importuning. You're desperate. I'm desperate for God. I long for God. The cry of my heart, oh God, reveal yourself, change America. That intercession prayer group with Ed Salvoza, try to attend it. America needs help. America needs a revival. We need a renaissance. We need an awakening. We need a move of God, a move of God, a move of God. Now everybody stop. Everybody stop praying for just a minute. And let's do something. We can't do a lot of knocking till nighttime like they did in the Bible or all night long. Put up your hands as high as you can. Put them up as high as you can. We're going to say a prayer. Now, if you don't know Jesus, remember, I don't think some of these people that were in the Bible and the parables were Christians. Certainly Bartimaeus wasn't a Christian. Certainly the woman from Canaan of Galilee who said, Lord, be merciful, my daughter's demon possessed. She wasn't saved. Jesus even said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. But she kept praying. Jesus then insulted her. And he said, I'm only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she said, I know all of that. But I know you're the Lord. And I know you can. And I know if I stay and I press in, you will heal my daughter. And Jesus said, I never seen such faith. Come on, hallelujah. Now, raise your hands if you're here and you don't know Jesus. Here's a prayer. We're all going to pray, but you're going to accept Jesus. You're going to invite him. The whole reason for this church is to get people into the kingdom of God, to escape hell, to save people, to populate heaven, not hell. We're here and we're derelict if we don't give you an opportunity. So with our hands raised, we're all going to pray and say this prayer out loud. Heavenly Father, you hear prayer. I heard that you hear prayer. Even those that don't know you, even those that's never been born again. Now, Lord Jesus, I want to be your child. I want you to be my heavenly Father. So, Jesus, come into my heart. Wash me right now. Out loud, say, wash me. Cleanse me. Sit on the throne of my heart. Be my Lord. I want to follow you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me now. Oh, hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand clap.
Amen. Amen. How many appreciate Apostle C? Let's say thank you this morning. God bless. Hey, listen. We're going to be receiving the offering here in a minute, and we're going to have some more time of worship. Something very important, though. I sense, Apostle C, that there's at least three or four, maybe five people this morning. You said that prayer for the very first time. People come to church every week wanting to know, how do I know God? I have a need in my life. I need to know. You prayed that prayer. What we encourage you to do, there's this card that's in the seat pocket in front of you. Take that out, put your name on there, and check that box that says, I want to follow Jesus. Because here's what we want you to do. When we draw, pass the offering bag around, drop that in because we want to help you. We want to get in touch with you. We want to answer your questions. And if you want to know more about Gateway, do the same thing. Use this here, and that's our tool to connect with you because we believe God wants to do something great within your life. Amen. Let's give to the Lord now. Father, we just thank you for this day. If the ushers could come forward, we just want to, Lord, give you all honor, all glory. We're going to have a time of worship, but Lord, we're going to give unto you, and we're going to just thank you for the blessing of your kingdom on our families, Father, in everything we do. In Jesus' name. The Bible says to honor the Lord. Let's just have a seat here, and let's give into the offering here. We're going to have the prayer teams come on up after they give, because we're going to have a time of prayer afterwards. So go ahead.
Yeah.
So we're going to close in prayer here right now, but I really sense something really strongly, Apostle C, that there are people in this room, you are on the edge of a breakthrough. You've been discouraged in your prayer. There's needs financially in your marriage. You've never been up here to have prayer. The Bible says if any two agree, it'll be done. I'm going to be down here, Pastor John. I want to encourage all the pastors, Carol Cohen, Pastor, my wife, Apostle C. We want to be down here. We want to just have a prayer storm right down here, right after this service here. If you need prayer and you need agreement and breakthrough, let's not be in a hurry. But let's say a prayer. If you need to go, we're going to pray. Pick up your kids. But I believe God's going to do something right here, right now, in this house. Father, we thank you for this day. We speak blessing over every family, every member, every child of Gateway. We thank you for the word of the Lord this morning, encouraging us to press in prayer, not to give up, Lord God, but even when it hurts, even when it's dark, Lord, we know we're not alone. We have one another. We have our small groups. We have our Saturday morning prayer. We have opportunities even here right now to pray and to stand with one another, Lord God. Let there be strength in the house to pray, Father. And we thank you this day for what you're going to do right now for the nation, for the prayer this coming Friday, for every family, every individual, and we bless everybody here in Jesus' name. Everybody says, amen. If you got to go, go. If you need prayer, come on down. Let's get some prayer here in this house this morning.